The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is Method Man of the Mighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chillin', Jalen and Jacoby, man. They gave these dudes a show.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up,
I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have some news from the NBA. We knew it would happen, and it has happened. A superstar has tested positive for the coronavirus, Russell Westbrook. Let us know with this tweet that prior to joining his team in the bubble, he has tested positive. He's feeling well, and he's looking forward to joining his team. Jalen, I think this is an indication of just how safe the bubble is going to be, not how dangerous the bubble is going to be. What do you think of this news?
Well, I think there's a major distinction here, Jacoby. One, that if you test positive while you're in the bubble, the mechanism set up in order for you to then be able to compete. Testing before you enter the bubble creates other barriers potentially before you actually are able to get cleared in order to participate. And he's not the only one from their team that isn't in the bubble. James Harden, Bamute. We'll see what happens with those three players. But Houston is one of those squads. If they can get hot in the Western Conference with those two MVP caliber players, that can make a run in this playoff.
The coronavirus is an extremely unpredictable disease. On some people, there are asymptomatics. There are no symptoms. And if that's the case with Russell Westbrook, we could see him come back before the playoffs even start. However, it's just so unpredictable. It could have serious, serious health implications, and we wish him the best. It is now time for some broken news.
To everyone else, it's breaking news. To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
Jalen, it wasn't a question of whether or not the Washington football team would change their name. It was just a question of when, and that question has been answered. It is this morning they announced that they will no longer use their team name and their logo. Jalen, why did it take them so long, and what do you think?
That's why I'm really fortunate I get to carry a bat, and we get a chance to embody the culture even when we're not speaking and retire words on this program. That's why this is broken news. Words like bust or shipped or wife beater. We stopped calling the NFL team from Washington their logo years ago. Not because we're such great guys or we're so very intelligent. We just know it was offensive. But my problem with this is Dan Snyder and the arrogance of not doing it until you're basically forced by your sponsors. I'm really appreciative that it was happening. But again, every time I get confused, Jacoby, and sometimes I think black, sometimes I think white, and then there's a sense that I have that tells me to follow the money. And that's what happened here.
That's exactly what happened here. I mean, the same man who said he would never change it, all of a sudden some sponsors start dropping out and Nike stops selling their stuff, their merchandise on their site. And then all of a sudden he has a change of heart and he decides it's the right thing to do, because it absolutely is the right thing to do. Not just now, not just when you're forced to do it financially. It's been the right thing to do for decades. And there's another angle to this that I want to bring to light. The Atlanta baseball team has said that they will not change their name. Now, it's the same thing as the Washington football team. While the Atlanta baseball team's name and the Kansas City football team and the Chicago hockey team's name aren't as offensive as the Washington football team's name, they are still offensive and they will change in time. I just wish they would get on the right side of history now instead of later. What do you think about Atlanta baseball team's decision?
Over time, teams change mascots. They change logos. These things happen whether they just get outdated and or you realize the true meaning offends others. And so in the case of Atlanta and their baseball team, same with Cleveland, Florida State, you mentioned a ton of those institutions and or professional teams. I repeat what Jacoby just said. It is going to happen. It's going to happen. It may not be tonight. It may not be tomorrow. But like we said about Washington's NFL team, it is offensive. Therefore, it will change. But unfortunately, only when it affects the bottom line.
They also said they're not changing the team name, but they're going to look at the quote-unquote tomahawk chalk that the fans do. It shouldn't take until 2020 to realize that tens of thousands of people, many of them white people, going like this and doing the quote-unquote tomahawk chop is maybe not something you should encourage as a business. It shouldn't take this long, but this is where we are in the world today. Well, moving on back to the Orlando bubble. We've talked a lot about the messaging on the back of NBA jerseys and just how far players would go. And then they had to pick from a list of approved terms. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis of the Lakers have decided to put their traditional last name on the back of their jerseys. What do you think of this decision?
I think you're such a professional. When you first said Twitter, I thought you were going to talk about an entanglement of a young lady that says she got invited to the bubble. That's where I thought you were going. I really did. She got blocked and unblocked and followed and unfollowed and invited and uninvited. In all honesty, I appreciate the ceremonial gestures and the statues being taken down and Black Lives Matter being written in the middle of streets and people continue to grow their awareness about the systemic racism that is taking place in our country. I truly applauded Jacoby, but it's going to take place ultimately when a shift in power and decision-making starts to be of influence. In particular, we're talking about the NBA. Why? Because they're likely the largest and most powerful conglomerate of Black men in the world. And we see because their league is 70% Black, they get a chance to influence the narrative. So therefore, we expect them to take every inch of the playing field, almost like field position in football. But for LeBron and or AD to have a word or a gesture on the back of their jersey isn't going to change the dynamics of the movement. I applaud players like Kyle Korver, who will have Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. I just hope that the players continue to hold their league responsible for being more inclusive.
I actually like this gesture from both. You mentioned Kyle Korver is going to put Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. I think it's important as a white player in the league to recognize that and do that. But I also think it's important for James to keep his last name on for this reason. He understands it is important to get these phrases, these approved phrases out and in the support of this movement. But he's doing so much more to support the movement outside of that, that he wants to focus on those things and ending the systemic racism and continuing to fight against social injustice. And that simply putting the words on the back of his jersey is one way to do that. But he's doing it in so many other ways that he doesn't want to get overshadowed by that. Again, he didn't tell me that's what he's thinking, but that's how I read into it.
If they're going to dictate what terms you can use, if you're going to give me a list of words I can use, then I'm good. I might as well use my own name. But again, I will applaud the NBA because they're one of the businesses and corporations that seem to be working with their employees to create an environment of inclusion. And I appreciate that.
Jalen, I have some bad news for my championship pick, the Los Angeles Lakers. Avery Bradley was not joining the team in Orlando, and a player that became much more important because of that, Rajon Rondo, has fractured his thumb. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. If the Lakers make a deep playoff run, we will probably see playoff Rondo return. But just how impactful is this, especially knowing that Avery Bradley is not going to be available to them as well?
It's so very impactful that I know you want to use this guy off the bench to give you instant offense, but now you got to start thinking about putting Kyle Kuzma in the starting lineup and putting AD at the five. Number one, because Avery Bradley was going to be one of your four players that closed the game along with those three and Danny Green. Now you're looking for two players to close the game, which makes not only Kuzma's role heightened, which why I feel like you got to get him out there early, but now you're looking at players like KCP, who's unheralded but plays quality minutes for them, and Caruso, but then a couple of wild cards and Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith.
I mean, the idea that this could get us more Waiters, more Smith, and more Caruso minutes makes it kind of fun. But it's a big deal because LeBron James does not play 48 minutes. There are times when he is on the bench. And while he's on the bench, the offense flows through Rajon Rondo. He sort of like runs that unit. And I think that this is actually going to be extremely, extremely detrimental to their championship run if he is not able to come back around the conference finals and play his way into shape. And now it's time for a signature segment. Cultural or regional? Let's go. Jalen, we often talk about this. It is cultural or regional. And it is also news that matters because something is happening in Orlando that I wanted to bring to your attention. It started with J.J. Redick, and then it was Myers Leonard. They're engaging in something that I've engaged many times in my life, shotgunning a beer. Let's take a look at these fine young athletes doing what they do best. You see, Redick's got the sideways sip, which is one technique. You know, I like the way he discards it. But it's Myers Leonard's who just very, very quickly, Myers Leonard takes this thing. He goes with the over-the-top, the over-the-top move, which I really liked as well. Jalen, what do you see from these shotguns? Cultural or regional?
1,000,000% cultural. Look over your left shoulder. Our guys, the Beastie Boys, you fit right in that picture. So much so, they're in your background every day. And you might as well be with JJ. You might as well be with, oh, whoa, what is that? And a Red Bull?
I'm fired up. Oh, let's go to break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You such a white guy. Got to give the people.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for Jalen's favorite segment because he gets to decide what we discuss for once. It's time for Keep It Moving. If you would like to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. We start with Cam Newton, who has a message.
Cam.
NFL. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
The brakes.
Let's check in on Cam Newton's Instagram.
They ain't never seen this, Cam. They ain't never seen him. You wanna know how I know? I ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam, the shit on Cam, tired of being sick of tired Cam.
Jalen, is he talking about the chip on his shoulder, or is he talking about his hair when they say they ain't never seen this Cam?
And he left off the 1 year, $1 million Cam, too. And trust me, for a guy that's won MVP, led a team to the Super Bowl, and had a time where people felt like he was the best quarterback and player in the game. Now he's seeing all of these upstarts, these dual threats like Mahomes and Lamar and Russell and Watson take their opportunities, and the league basically gave up on him. Oh, Cam is about to do work in New England.
I cannot wait to see it. Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. Belichick's got a brand new toy. I can't wait to see what Bill Belichick draws up with a running quarterback. Next, there'll be an important piece of NBA culture missing in the bubble. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I'll say keep it moving for now.
All right, we'll keep it
moving. We keep it moving.
It's AAU style. You ain't gonna be able to wear your uniform to and from. You got to be a David Jacoby and leave the game without shower.
You can't say keep it moving and then discuss the topic, man. You're breaking down the foundation of the segment, Jalen. I'm still fired up about that Red Bull. Moving on. Dana White was very critical of some referees after UFC 251 on Fight Island.
Keep it moving for now. Bad judging happens in the UFC and in boxing.
We keep it moving.
Great pulling off Fight Island, though, Dana.
Ben Simmons did something that you and I have never done. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Well, Jalen and I have never fished in our lives, and Ben Simmons has, but when he tried to release the fish, the following happened. Watch him try to throw the fish in the big lake. He drops it on the dock. Come on, Ben Simmons. The jokes just write themselves. You can't do that when you don't have a jumper. You can't do that when you don't have a jumper. Jalen, what do you think about his catch and release technique?
I think he had a lot more courage than you and I because he actually tried to hold the fish with his bare hands, and then he realized that the bare hands were getting bit by teeth. So instead of throwing it in the water, he dropped it. And I see what you mean by the lack of a jump shot, but come on, man, cut on some slack. You couldn't catch anything.
Yeah, yeah. One of my fears about fishing is not just catching the fish. You wait around for hours and hours to catch the fish, and then I got to take the hook out of its mouth somehow. Like, then you're basically performing surgery on an animal. Like, I'm not going to wait around for 3 hours to do something I'm scared to do.
Correct. That's my whole thing.
I ain't doing that. Moving on.
So
junior college sports have moved all of their fall sports to the spring. Keep moving or
hit. You know what? Just hit the brakes on this one.
Okay. Well, the National Junior College Athletic Association has went ahead and just said, you know what? No sports this fall. Jalen, do you think the NCAA is next?
No, because the kind of dollars that are at stake are vastly different. I wanted to stop on this topic to say to all of you JUCO athletes to have goals of going D1, to have goals to go into the professional ranks, to have goals to going into the Olympics. You can do it. This is only a step back for a step up. Your chance is going to come.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because while many sports fans say, oh, it's just junior college, it's not that big a deal, but there are a lot of players that have pro potential that end up in junior college for various reasons, and some transfer and some because of grades or other things. So there are some players that are going to be impacted. Their careers, their professional careers are going to be impacted by this decision. But man, I just want to see sports again. Just wear a mask so we can see sports again. Please, just put on a mask so we can see sports again. Please. Well, I do have some live action of competitive basketball featuring a very famous actor. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
The brakes.
Jalen, Woody Harrelson, famous Billy Hoyle, still out here getting buckets late into his 50s. We have footage. Look at him bring up the ball. Look at that floor general right there. Woody's doing his thing. Oh, right past one defender, over another defender. You can't double Woody Harrelson. You can't stop this man. Look at that over the head Larry Bird pass. What do you think about Harrelson's old man buckets?
Star White Man Can't Jump, along with Wesley Snipes. Anytime you're getting royalty checks like that, you should be able to go to the park and get buckets. But that just gave me a snapshot of what you going to look like in another 5 or 10 years playing rec ball.
Oh, Jalen, I got bad news. I already look like that. So people say that you and I are kind of like White Man Can't Jump with the interracial partnership, but neither of us can jump. So you and I are not like White Man Can't Jump. We both can't jump.
And neither one of us can shoot off the glass either.
No. You know me, I can't even score. When
runners and punters.
Back, we have what Patrick Mahomes has set for his goals,
well,
and
Jalen
will celebrate a building that means so much to him. Both of that in just 2 minutes when Jalen and Jacoby returns. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Patrick Mahomes has signed a 10-year deal that could be worth $500 million. But he says he is not satisfied. He wants to match Tom Brady's six championships. That means five more championships for the young quarterback. What do you think about him setting his goals that high?
When you walk into an office, you sign a 10-year deal, which most people, including myself, didn't realize NFL players can still do. Mm-hmm. You sign for over $500 million.
With incentives.
And an average salary that's going to continue to place you amongst the highest paid athletes in any sport. What do you expect them to say after he signs that contract? He just won in regular season MVP, a Super Bowl, and the MVP of that game. He's very young and talented, and they got weapons.
Weapons.
Oh, my goodness. They got weapons. However, the one thing that they should have done, like I keep telling you, they have a secret weapon. His name is Eric Bieniemy. And when they gave that contract to Patrick Mahomes, they should also gave him one as the associate head coach and handcuffed those guys together for a really long time. We'll see if they get that done.
That is a really good point. And also, it is like, of course, that's what you're going to say. You're going to say, yeah, I'm trying to win six championships. However, over the course of the next 10 years, I think the realistic expectations are probably two Super Bowls, not five Super Bowls. But God bless him for aiming high. Moving on, Jalen, our guy, Jorge Masvidal, our guy, the game-bred fighter, took the fight in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island in just 6 days' notice, and he went into the ring and had a good first round but slowed down from there against Kamaru Usman. Usman used a lot of clinches, a lot of toe-stomping. It was not a very interesting fight to watch. However, it was a good night of fights. What do you think about Masvidal and Usman?
You know that's our guy. And in the first round, he came out striking Jacoby. And a couple of things you left off. Without his trainer, who had tested positive for COVID-19, but also needed to lose 20 pounds in a handful of days and take a flight to Flight Island and then promote the fight. So it was a great performance for him. I would have loved to see him get it done then, because maybe all of a sudden another prime striker like a Conor McGregor looks at him and say, I want to try to come after that belt. But you want to give Usman his credit, as you mentioned, but our guy will be in position to fight for the belt again.
It's interesting you bring up Conor, because Conor and Masvidal are such big stars because their fights are so fun to watch because they are strikers. But people like Usman and Khabib, they're more effective at winning the fight. They're just not as fun to watch because they're such good grapplers and wrestlers. Like that fight, you know, I stayed up way past my bedtime to watch that fight, and it didn't climax the way I wanted the night to.
Too many toe stomps, by the way.
Too many toe stomps. The refs need to say something. Like, dog, stop talking. Like, I know this is not against the rules, but just stop doing it because it's annoying to watch. Also, Masvidal, he was limping. He must have been limping around all the next day. Jalen, a building that means a lot to you has been brought to the ground. I'm talking about the Palace of Auburn Hills. Please pay homage to this place that has brought you so much joy.
So initially, when the Detroit Pistons left the city, when I was a youngster, a lot of adults were unhappy. So if you're going to move to Pontiac and go to the Silver Dome, you better deliver. And they drafted Isaiah. And that was one of the best things that ever happened for the franchise. So now you can move a little bit further when you start making a little bit more money. And they moved to the Palace in Auburn Hills. And the Bad Boys delivered back-to-back championships. And then all of a sudden, Bad Boys 2 with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, delivers another one. I got a chance to play in that building, Jacoby, early 90s. And did a backwards dunk when I tossed it up under my arm against Iowa State. You might have to Google that. It was nasty.
We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN, 4 o'clock. We always say we give the people what they want. Jalen, when they put us on ESPN, they didn't really give us a show, you know? They didn't really give it. They gave us 20 minutes. I've never heard of a 20-minute television show before. Today, July 13th. Seems like we passed the test. They gave us a half an hour real television show on ESPN. And that's the part that the executives watch, right? This is the podcast. There's no executives listening to this. So we can talk about the things that we really want to talk about. And that is a gamer with the handle Ugly Anna. Let me tell you something about Anna. She ain't ugly. And she's also not shy. And she puts herself out there on the internet, and some people take notice. Apparently, according to her, allegedly, because I'm a journalist discussing these things, she was invited to the NBA bubble by an NBA player. I can understand why she was, because the bubble doesn't just pertain to what's happening in Orlando. The bubble also pertains to this young lady. She was going to bring her bubble to the bubble. But then, in a bit of a clout-chasing move, she screen-grabbed and posted the whole thing. Her conversation with her homegirl. Now, Jalen, I have a lot of questions about this. Number one, how believable 0 to 100 is this story to you?
Initially, the story is 95% believable.
Really?
Based on each of the dynamics you described about the bubble, about her, and just about being quarantined for the next handful of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
However, growing up, son of a former player that I never met, godson to Dave Bing, in the gym, around the gym, in and around the game, fortunate enough to play the game. It's my blood, Jacoby. I'll tell you this. The second that post hit the internet, the next second she got disinvited. I bet you
Yeah. I have some questions. Because what she did is she screen grabbed a conversation of her talking to her homegirl about the invite to the bubble. So where's the screen grab of the invite to the bubble? That's my question. Like, why are you screen grabbing and releasing you talking to your homegirl about the bubble? Or perhaps her homegirl did that. But somewhere there's the original invite, because I know it wasn't a phone conversation or a FaceTime, because it's 2020 and people under 30 don't have phone conversations. So somewhere there's a paper trail that I need to see to really take this serious.
So this is When You Get Famous 101. Okay.
Okay.
Gather around, boys and girls.
Okay.
Your phone call, your text, your email, Free Woj, isn't the same when you have a name. It becomes, look at such and such who just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it becomes. You may believe it doesn't. Same with the pictures that you're sending, male and female. Those nudes, he ain't just looking at them. Him and his boys, brothers, crew, everybody in the house looking at him. And in this case, she was trying to, as you mentioned, clout chase and boast with her friend, thinking that that was going to fly under the radar. But as soon as you say the terms NBA bubble invited, and then you see the visual of her, now it goes viral to the point everybody trying to figure out who it is. And she's like, what should I do? And her friend, like, the worst person to ask for advice in a crisis, because she said block them. That's the last word. That's the last
thing.
Don't get in trouble with her.
Let me say this. I did not know who she was before this all happened, and I did a lot of research for this topic. You know what I mean? I'm a journalist. So I had to really, really research her social media presence and see her previous posts. And I was not familiar with her work before this topic. So shout to quote unquote Ugly Anna, because it worked on me. She had me researching for this topic for quite some time. Now, I think you like the podcast exclusive more than the actual television show. You know what I mean? Because you're heavily involved with the preparation for the program, but you also sometimes we got to talk about that in the pod. And one thing you wanted to talk about in the pod was Will and Jada. Because if you don't know, let me catch you up quickly. Will and Jada, they were going through some tough times in a marriage. That happens from time to time, and they broke up. And she had an entanglement with a singer. A singer who I believe is one of their son's friends. And then she took it to Red Table Talk, the two of them, face to face, on camera. And she broke down the entanglement. Jalen, what do you think about Will and Jada, the Red Table Talk, and the entanglement?
So the one thing about doing what we do for a living, and Will and Jada will appreciate this, is we're charged to give our opinion without bias, because it's really important for the credibility of our audience. And as somebody that's been a public figure since the early 90s, that's one of the things that I learned that I have. And when people come up to me and say they name their son or daughter or whoever Jalen, that's the ultimate stamp of credibility that makes me feel like I gotta always stand on what I say without bias. And so there are a lot of things I want to say about this topic. First and foremost, okay, and I want everybody to think about each point I'm going to make, and feel free to tweet me, feel free to IG me, feel free to do whatever. I want dialogue on this topic. I need dialogue on this topic. I need therapy on this topic, which is why I want to talk about it so very much.
Okay.
No particular order. I just got a couple of what ifs. What if August was a young lady?
Okay.
We'd be looking at this vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be looking at it like I'm about to charge basically Jada for doing. In my eyes, that's a case of molestation. And let me tell you what I mean. Yeah, I see the look on your
because
face.
Because of the age gap?
Let me finish.
Whoa, not at using all big words.
So, let me tell you. Not because they were married and not because of the age gap. I'm not even here to tell them how to behave in their marriage. And I'm not here to tell anybody how to deal with any age gap. Here's the molestation. First and foremost, I have daughters and I'm happily married. But if I wasn't, there are a couple of people that are off limits to me. Anybody that comes to my house with one of my kids, that's off limits. August met her through her son, and that just disgusts me, first and foremost. The second thing, no particular order. She talked about how he had health issues and she was there to heal him. So that means as somebody that's two times older than the other person, you see that they're vulnerable. So now you have a choice to either try to take advantage of that person or to try to get that person help. Having a sexual relationship with that person is not getting them the support that they need. That furthers their pain and their depression, which is why he was the one, not her, that cut it off. He was the one.
A couple things
that cut it off.
A couple things I want to make clear. Number one, you're using the term molestation. That is your opinion. That is your read of it. That is your view, because it is a consenting relationship between two adults that are legally absolutely allowed to have whatever type of romantic relationship they want. Another thing that we always say before you judge so quickly is there's really only two people that truly know what the nature of their relationship was. And that's the two of them. And, you know, romantic relationships can grow in any soil, and chemistry can spark in any combination of human beings. And I think that you're being very quick to judge this one just because the young man had a relationship with her son, who is also of adult age, right?
There are certain things, Jacoby, that don't have an age to them. And the first one is when he or she walks through the door with your son or daughter, that person is off limits. Especially when they're half your age.
Do we know that's 1,000% the case?
I know that I did some research for this, and I know he's now 27. And they said that this happened 4 years ago, which makes him, and people lie about that, which makes him 22, 21, sure. Right? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't happening just one day, it was probably happening a month, 6 months, 2 years. We don't know.
They were entangled.
Just happened.
They were entangled.
Right?
They were entangled.
So that means he was the ages probably of between 20, 21 and 23, 24. So yes, he is a young adult, but when you talk about his pain, and when you talk about his health issues, and when you talk about him needing help, the next thing is you also could be considered taking him for not being responsible with a young person that you're influencing. You can't tell me somebody your son one day and then you sleeping with him the next day. Is that fair?
Well, a little unfair, but one thing that struck me about this, it actually reminded me of Jay-Z and Beyonce. And let me explain why. We all know about Beyonce's album.
Let me explain.
You're not listening. You're not listening. We know about Beyonce's album and the Becky with the good hair and the sort of the cheating allegations, and all of a sudden there's an album, then they have a duet album. It sort of seemed like it all played out in public for they turned it into content. An extramarital affair sort of got turned into content that sort of financially, that they financially gained from. And I felt a little bit like that about this. Like, why aren't you guys just talking about this behind closed doors? Like, why is this now a camera shoot? Why is this now a show? Why is this now being played out in public? Why isn't this happening behind closed doors? Why is this being filmed and broadcast to the world?
Can I answer some of those questions for you?
Yes, of
course. Can I answer some of those questions for you?
Of course.
The same reason why Washington changed the name of their football team. If August didn't say nothing, they wasn't going to say nothing either. He said something, so now they got to speak on it. And like I said, they're A-list. For him to have access to them and the stories that he told, I came on this pod and was like, he ain't lying. He ain't lying. You can't make that up. Mm-mm. If somebody wrote that in a book, you'd be like, word. And by the way, Will looked hurt, salty.
Yeah, he did.
Eyes puffy.
Yeah, he did.
And to your point about talking about it public, how does that affect the kids and their friends and the dynamic of them trying to grow? And again, I'm not here to tell them how to live their lives. I don't care who Will or Jada sleep with. I don't care. I've heard for years that they, quote unquote, had an open relationship. It's not that. But if you ask me, do I think August became a pawn in the game? He definitely did. He definitely did.
He did.
Now, however, like if you want to flip it and look at it the other way, he got a chance to get with Jada.
Sure.
And it seemed like she put that black magic on him. And then they put that microphone in front of him. He didn't know what to say. He did not know what to say. Because you hope a young fella don't kiss and tell, but man.
Never,
she was like, I ain't felt good in a long time. She looked Will right now. I was like, I ain't felt good in a long time.
I know. That was rude. That was rude.
I ain't felt good in a long time.
Rude.
And you know, basically like, and you know it. I ain't felt good in a long time. So, I mean, if y'all doing it like that, I mean, somebody might catch feelings, man. You know, no, you don't want the young fella to kiss and tell, but she put it on him, dog.
What do you mean by she put the black magic on him? What do you mean, Mr. Rose?
I don't have to tell you. You got three kids at the house, right? I don't have to tell you. I was going to go into an explanation, and then I realized who I was talking to.
I just wanted to see what you would say.
You tell us. Tell you.
I don't need to explain. I'll state the facts. I've been with the same woman for 18 years. Oh, Jalen. I want to talk about my kids for a second because we're doing it to show from home, right? You know, I got to set up the studio every single day and I couldn't find my laptop. Everything, look, the lights plug into the wall, but the camera plugs into the laptop, the mic plugs into the laptop, my earpiece plugs into the laptop, and the internet plugs into the laptop. This show's not happening without the laptop. Can't find a laptop. Do you know where the laptop was? My daughter, my 4-year-old daughter, Chloe, stole the laptop and brought it to her room and hid it. Because she wanted to play ABC Mouse. Like, we might not have a show one day because my daughter wants to play ABC Mouse. That's not good. That's not good.
It's not horrible that she's trying to take your computer, though. Like, there's so many other things. Like, if she was trying to hide food at 3 a.m. under the bed, that's one thing. But, like, a thirst for knowledge. And she knows way more about a computer at her age than you knew until you turn like 24.
Mm-hmm.
So let her live. They already broke the old microphone. You had to get a new one. They run that house, dog.
They really do.
We'll be back in studio in August. You'll be back in studio in August.
You think so?
You'll be back.
Oh, you see how it went from we to you real quick. You're like, we'll be back in August. And you're like, you'll be back in August. Oh, you ain't coming studio with me?
Well, can I say something else on the pod that really disappoints me? Because I'm really fortunate I get a chance to be the founder of JRLA and influence and educate young people, and you've dedicated your time, energy, and money to the cause. And Betsy DeVos and our commander in tweets are discussing an ultimate bully tactic that's going over 99% of people's head, that somebody that lives, breathes, and works in education must speak on. And as somebody that works in sports and entertainment, if people aren't going to the movies or sporting events or plays on Broadway, why are we believing that we're going to force young people into a classroom and then threaten the schools by saying we will take away your funding?
That's insane. Well, I feel strongly about this as well, because while I don't have my own school, I have to start a school if my kids don't go to school in my own home. And one thing that I want to say is we need to just get our priorities right. Okay. Let's say opening schools is more important than opening gyms. Opening schools is more important than opening bars. Opening schools is more important than opening movie theaters and amusement parks. Like, we should be focusing on doing everything in a society that sets us up in a position to open up schools in the fall. And I think some people point to opening up bars and gyms and salons and service places, non-essential services. They point to that and say, oh, it'll be good for the economy. Well, do you know what else is good for the economy? Opening up schools. Because how do people that have parents that are parents that don't have resources for childcare, how do they go to their jobs and how do they go out into the economy and boost the economy with their personal resources and time and energy and money if they have to be at home with their kids? So schools over bars. Guess what? Bars are fun. I love bars. I love playing Golden Tee. I love watching football at a bar. But do you know what I love more than that? Putting my kids in the bus in the morning and watching them go to school. So please wear a mask. I want to put my kids in the bus.
Absolutely. But also, I want to peel the onion back a little bit for you. And just talk about the suppression. It's George Floyd being murdered by the police and him saying that he can't breathe. It's Eric Garner, the same thing. From a corporate dynamic, Jacoby, that's what I'm here to teach. This is the corporate version of that. Because when you say you're going to take away funding from schools, guess what schools that does not include? Private schools. So you're basically saying underprivileged public school students in schools, if you don't go to school when we say go to school, regardless of what science says and the rapid increase of coronavirus patients, regardless of all of that information, and we're just going to discredit Anthony Fauci, and we're just going to discredit the CDC. And if you don't go to school, of all of the entities in the world, these billion-dollar corporations being bailed out. We talked about TB12 getting a check. We talked about the Lakers getting a check. And on and on and on. Of all things you want to take away money from, underprivileged students, Jacoby, that is disgusting. And I just had to say that into a microphone because that's the systemic racism when we talk about change happening. As somebody, again, that has made his bones in education, the quality of your education should not be defined by your zip code. And it is in our country. And these type of conversations continue to foster that with these bully tactics.
Well, one thing that I've learned during the coronavirus crisis is I got out of the prediction game, right? The future is so uncertain when it comes to the virus and where it's going to pop up and second waves and vaccines. I stopped predicting, you know, because there's once upon a time where I thought, oh, by July 4th, I bet things will be back to normal. You know, oh, this might just be a few weeks. And so the idea that on July 13th, you can dictate what people should or should not be doing in early September, it's just foolish, because you don't know what the world is going to look like in early September. You do not know. So you cannot make policy decisions. You can make plans. You could say, we'd like to open up. You could say, here are some benchmarks, kind of like they did with the phases. Here's some benchmarks that we should hit to make opening up schools possible. Jacoby. But you just can't predict what it's going to be like in 6 weeks. You can't make those decisions.
Jacoby, take it from Uncle Jalen Rose to anybody with a brain. Please open up your ears for a second. Be prepared to make sure your student on every level, K through college, is prepared to do some sort of learning online. That's the new normal. Anybody that's not discussing that, not planning for that, it's not being realistic about the climate that we're in. As long as the vaccine isn't discovered, places that had 1,000 people will now have 100 people. Places that had 100 people are going to have 10 or 15 people. That's the new norm. So whether it's 2 days a week, whether it's 3 days a week, students are going to be in school, and they're going to also have to learn cyber.
Well,
it's gonna have to happen.
You know, because I've got the three kids, so I've been paying very close attention to this one. And one thing that's so hypocritical and ironic about this whole discussion is, in order to open schools, it's going to be, like you say, sort of smaller classrooms, more testing, more PPE. And do you know what that costs? More money, not less money. So to have schools open, you need to have more money dedicated to education, not less.
Safety in order for the staff, to
keep it safe, the teachers, all of that.
The custodians,
extra hours,
glasses,
extra teachers,
extra desks,
students. Plexiglass and separated. Less students means there's I would say, you know, 97% of schools are not saying, man,
Jacoby,
we got a bunch of extra space.
Before I get out of here, we got a bunch of extra money.
We got a bunch of extra staff. We're just waiting for this. We're ready.
You and I are one percenter. You're a professional working family. You and your wife both work. So school's about to start. Imagine if your school calls and says, hey, you know what? On Monday, we're going to go to school from 8 to 3. Then on Tuesday, we're going to go to school from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, we're going to go to school from 8 to 2. How would you juggle that? You can't. That's not a plan. It's not a plan.
Well, they sent out a survey, the New York City Department of Education. I didn't fill it out. I think my wife did. But it was like, would you rather have 1 week a month or 2 days a week? And it's just kind of, I just wanted to write back like, pass. You know, like I don't know. Right. You know what I mean? I understand. We're all doing our best here. But man, it's
the answer to that question is 2 weeks, two times a week. Because
probably.
It ain't going to be no more going every day. It's not going to be happening. Not gonna be
it's
able to do it.
It's still problematic.
And now those days got to be like Monday and Thursday.
I want to punch the coronavirus. We'll be back tomorrow. What's that, Jalen?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.